of the top page Samach Vav. You have some Samach Vav? Yeah, Samach Vav. Samach Vav. Page Samach Vav. Samach Vav is the middle of Halacha Yedalit. Okay, so in the middle of Yedalit, we are in the middle of discussing. Okay, middle of discussing the theme of Ahava, the love of Hashem. Okay, and we're in the middle. Let's start with Avizehu Davar Yedua on the very top of page Samach Vav. On the first line, in the middle of the first line, v'zehu davar yedua kayoim. The following is something which is obvious like day. V'chashemesh v'luchol mevin, like the day, like the sun. Different expressions is obvious. Asher lo ti'avas haberi kishur b'leiv adam. A person can. It's not an automatic. It's not a given. A person does not come into this world loving Hashem. No such thing. Anyone that comes in right away, it's natural. He's saying it's not natural. Lo yitia avas habari kishur b'leiv ha'adam ad asher yishke ba'tamid, until he is yishke. Now yishke is a very hard word to translate. We don't have an English translation, but we do over here on the bottom of this page, he have an attempt to try to trace the meaning of this word. Okay, this word we use every so often. We mentioned yesterday in passing. So let's see what it says over here on the bottom. Zayin on the bottom. Ayin behasagas arayvit sham halacha vav shekasav iefsher Omar Avram. Aleph stands for Omar Avraham. He starts off everything that the Ravid begins. He begins with Omar Aleph Omar Avraham. How do I know this? Because once upon a time there was a fellow who's not such a nice guy, and he used to test. Always liked to test me. A yeshiva bacher in high school. Oh, what are you learning? You're learning. So he says to me, you learned the Raivin Brahman. What does it mean, the Raivin? What does it mean, Aleph in the Raivin? So I said, I don't know. I don't know what it means, Aleph. So he says, you don't know. You don't learn Raivin. You don't learn. You go to yeshiva. You go to yeshiva. You know. And I was embarrassed. I don't know. So he said, yes, this Rosh Hashiva. He didn't know. Yes, this Rosh Hashiva and this Rosh Hashiva. And like, who are you to go around testing the whole Klal Yisrael if they know what Aleph means in the Raivin? So I said to him, "You're such. I didn't say this. Thing. I wanted to say, you're such a nasty person. You know what it stands for? Orwar Ata." That's what I wanted to say, but you know, I can't. Baruch Hashem. I closed my mouth. It means Omar Avraham. The Ravid's name was Avraham. So when he begins his battle against the Rambam, just about every single Ravid, the Ravid whips apart the Rambam to shreds. Okay, you've never seen such a mochamta shelter like the Ravid. So he begins with the words Omar Avraham. Omar Avraham. Ze hashigoyoin. Lo yodanu le'ezer davar kivein. I don't know what this word means. Okay, he himself acknowledges atche yishke. It says in the Gemara, that the person does not come to love Hashem. I'm not sure if the word there was used in that context, but the word he's referring to the word yishke. I really do not know what it means. The word yishke. What does this mean?
Compare.
What? Well, let's see what he says. How do we commonly translate it? It means you are obsessed. I think that's maybe a possible popular translation. It is impossible for a person to come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu unless you apply yourself. You apply yourself with an obsession to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then it begins to rub off. You begin to come and love Hashem. Let's see how he tries to translate the word. It's a very hard word to translate. I don't know le'ez davar kivein uvehage hoisi. In my comments, he'arti al divrei Rashi mishlei perikei pasuk yutes al ha'pasuk on the pasuk be'ahavosa tishke tamid. That's where it comes. The pasuk in mishlei. Okay, in her love, the love of what? The love of Torah. the havasa, it's the idea that everything is a mashal on an isha, mishle, all the psukim there have mishalim, comparing to a woman, to a zoina, to a person's own wife, v'chulu v'chulu, and it says there, b'ahavasa, in her love, in the love of this woman, the Eish Eschayil, I'm not referring to Eschayil there, but it's referring to the Isha, that Isha Keshera, in her love, Tishke Tamid. What does that mean? That's the same exact word over here. It says Yishke, and that it comes from the word there in Mishlei, Tishke Tamid. What does that mean? So there Rashi brings, Rashi also did not know what it meant. Rashi also was a bit startled. What is the meaning of this word? Tishke. We can give a very general translation that you're obsessed, or you're obsessed. The man is obsessed with a woman that he loves. So what does it mean? So there he brings a more precise. There's nothing like a precise translation, right? Like we learned today, muhuma, confusion. And the Malam says it doesn't mean it means hishtanu haseder. It's not what's normal. It's not normal there should be martial law in effect. It's not normal there should be a curfew. Doesn't have to mean chaos, right? When you have a very precise translation, it's very satisfying.
That's much more mild.
Right, not mild, it's different. It puts things in a different perspective. It defines the moment.
Yeah.
So when you have a good translation, everything is different. Just not talking generalities. So he brings down the Mishim HaMoshe HaDarshan. Tishke means ta'asoik tomid. Okay? It means to continuously be busy. So it doesn't mean to be obsessed. Maybe that's an illness, but it means to be
preoccupied.
Ta'asoik tomit. Yeah, ta'asoik means to be occupied continuously. Preoccupied. You are continuously busy with this matter. V'hu lashon aravi. It's not even a Hebrew word. It's snuck into Tanakh.
Arabic.
It's snuck in. It's Arabic. Aravi. V'hevi raya kemo kemo. He brings a raya. Levakesh. There's an expression. I don't know what this expression comes from. I have no clue. Levake shagoya. What does that mean there? Maybe it comes to the Gemara to seek out a shagoya. In the context of wherever this comes from, where he's not telling us, I do a computer search where he got this expression from. It means, I'm looking for a job. I'm a job seeker. I'm sitting by the corner. I'm hoping someone's going to pass by and pick me up and give me a job. I'm out going to an unemployment agency to find a job. Levakesh shigoya, the same sherish, it means to seek out levakesh esek, to seek out something to do. So now we take that expression and the translation, we plug it into the pasuk. It means a person is continuously busy in seeking out ways to love Hashem, to learn how to love Hashem, or to learn about Hashem, and then that indirectly brings about love. And then he goes further. Rashi himself in Mishlei says, this is what it says, Rabbi Moshe HaDarshan. He translates the word tishke me'oid to mean osuk, to be busy, tasoy tomit, from this expression. And Rashi says, I don't know where he got this from. I don't know this expression. I don't know what he's talking about. This is what it says in Rabbi Moshe HaDarshan. I accept it, but I do not know the source, chapter and verse, to see where Rav Moshe HaDarshan is coming from with this idea, Levakesh Shagoya, Levakesh Ezek, At Kan Lashon Rashi. Okay? So that's the first thing over here in the footnotes he tells us. The next thing, Ayin B'Kol Yehuda Shalak Kuzari, Maimer Gimel Oysaf, look in the Sefer called Yehuda, name of a Sefer, that was written a commentary on the Kuzari from Yehuda HaLevi, Maimer Gimel Oysaf, Al Kemo Sheshoga B'Kibbutz Momoin. Now, what does that mean? He had another translation. There he says, the person has sheshaga, he's occupied. B'kibbutz mamon. People, that's what they do the whole day. It's all about money. Kesef yanes hakol. We know that people are obsessed with making money. Sheshaga. They're preoccupied. The world is preoccupied with collecting money. That's the way the world, misha yesh loy money, reitze mosai. If you have 100, you want 200. Fine. Similar idea. It's basically the same idea, different expression. V'lo heyer midiri Rashi, and he did not. The one who wrote this parish did not quote the Rashi in Mishlei. It's a surprise that he did not realize that what he was saying really is already was predated by Rashi in Mishlei. Rashi Kamat said the same thing. Rashi elu avol, but he goes on to say, I have another pshat. Avol ikur kipeirusha yishu miloshein is Kippei Rushoi. Now, I don't know what he means. Kippei Rushoi means the parish of the Tsefer, the Kuzari. Shumiloshon Kisiach V'chisigloi. It says in the Pasuk, is there a siach, a piece of grass, V'chisigloi? Now, there, it means conversation. This means also conversation. I'm not even sure what it means. Look there in the Pasuk. I'm guilty. I should have prepared more. I went through this too quickly. Kisiach v'chisigloi. He says it comes from the Shavish, the word siach. Siach means a conversation. Yofa sichoson shel avi avos yoisa mitoyrosan shel bonas. It means to talk about. Speech. It doesn't mean to be busy. I'm busy looking at Svarim and doing this, doing that. To talk about Hashem. If a person is in the frame of mind of talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will bring love. Person says Baruch Hashem, and you think about it, and you say Be'ezras Hashem Yisparach, and you talk about Hashem, the Nefloyes Habayra, you talk of learning. If a person continuously talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is what brings a person Lidei Ahavas Hashem. Okay, so we come way over here. Where is this pasuk? I have to look up the pasuk. Yeah, we need over a fact check. We need some better fact checkers over here that would go and check up all these things. I have to give you the tools. I think I have to make a mayor give you a safari. Where is the pasuk? Is it a pasuk somewhere? Okay, we'll leave it for now. We're going to get bogged down. We'll prepare for the future, maybe in the future. It is a...
They don't have a concordance.
I have a concordance on my little machine over here, but I can't. It's going to take too long now. Okay, but what we take over here is, this piece is something very fascinating, that the Ravid himself, Milano Yosef, if the Ravid acknowledged, I don't know the translation of this word. Okay, that's a pretty good side. It's not even on this. Let me put it on my thing. The Ravid himself says, I don't know the translation of this word, then we're in good company. Okay? We don't know the translation. It means to be obsessed on a very superficial level, but then he quotes Rashi and Mishle. He quotes the Sefer of the Kuzari, which also says to be preoccupied. Like the whole taught us preoccupied. Ta'asoik tamid. And then we learn here what another interpretation he writes in that Sefer of the Kuzari, it means a siach. A siach means a form of conversation expression. So Adam Ayin Lavoides Adam Siach has it means a blade of grass, but it also means Siach means Vayetze Yitzchok Lasuach Basode, to converse. Who was he conversing with? With Hashem, to Davin. Tzfilah is called Sicha because you're speaking to Hashem. Conversation. When you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Memela, you're going to come to love Hashem. I told this to you not long ago. I'll repeat it because it's so delicious. I read this in the safe with a certain gadol, a very one of the gadol Yisrael. I don't remember which gadol it was, and he said to his talmidim that I think it's a very good idea that all of you should become rabbanim. You should go into the rabbinate. Why? Why do I want all of you, my talmidim, to go into the rabbinate? Do I want to punish you? It's not a job for a nice Jewish boy. They always say that. It's not a job, but I want you to anyway to go into it. Why? Because now, Rabbi said, those who heard, you're not going to get shot, but those who didn't hear this, so don't stone me yet. Wait, hold off. This Gadol Hadar said to Talmid, I want you to go into the Rabbanus because you'll then have to pretend that you care about someone else. You'll call up your Mespal, I didn't see you for 2 days. How are you? Are you feeling okay? You couldn't care less. Couldn't give a hoot. So wow, you're just making believe. I want you to learn how to make. You know the story with the balabas, the rabbi. So didn't see a balabas for a couple of weeks. He says to him, "I haven't seen you. I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. What happened to you?" So he says, "I had a heart attack. I had a heart attack, and I was almost dead. And I was in the hospital recovering. I had surgery of hulu. So Rabbi goes, Baruch Hashem. I thought you went to the competition. You make believe you care, right? So you learn that you have to make believe you care about someone. Hanitachim? You know what's going to happen? You're going to make believe you care about your balabatim when you go into the rabbanis for the first year, for the first couple of weeks, whatever it is. And then you know what's going to happen to you? It's going to grow on you. And then you're really going to care about your balabatim for real. You're going to develop. It's not going to be a make-believe. It's not just going to be for your balabatim. It's going to train you to care for real, with real sincerity, about someone else in this world. And if you don't go through the make-believe phase in your life, you'll never come to really care about other people for real. It doesn't happen. You wake up in the morning and you care about people. The only way you come to care about people is you get involved with people you don't care about, and you force yourself to go through the motions. And then when you go through the motions, somehow in your mind, it opens up your mind to see things from a different perspective. And you begin to realize, that's right, it's a very noble thing to care about someone else. It's a process. It's a process. And if you won't become Rabbanim, you're going to sit in your Dalai Lama Shem Halacha, you'll never come to care about someone else besides yourself. It's a necessary thing that has to be done in order for a person to care about other people. It's an amazing insight into human psychology. And he says, really, who's saying this? Where is he getting this from? To a degree, it's Sefer HaChassidim. The Sefer HaChassidim says, when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're going to care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You wake up in the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I care, I love you. You don't care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not natural. It's not an inborn thing to care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way you care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if you're Yishke Me'oid. What does it mean, Yishke? To be Osuk Tomit, in one interpretation, busy yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Daven, learn, do Gemilas Chasadim, go through the motions. Or according to his other interpretation, talk about Hashem. Force yourself to talk about Hashem. It grows on you. It grows on you, it changes you, it awakens you, and then it comes to a point in time where you actually will care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu for real. So this is the beautiful parish over here. It's amazing that the Ravid himself acknowledged, I don't know what it means. Cites Rashi and Mishle. We have another sefer on the Kuzari. He brings over here the Mechaber. This edition is really, really an incredible edition. The Musar Rav Kook, the one who put this together, we have the Sefer Chassidim. It's second to none. I'll collect a couple of Sorim on, but this is always has the best stuff. To explain over here what this unusual word means. We always say, you know, you read the Chazal, you come across the word pretty often, that a person has to yishke in something, and here we finally came across a more precise translation, preoccupied, or to speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's now go further. Okay. Asha Yishke Batamid, let's go further. Let me find the place over here. Asha Yishke Batamid, Kagoin, Shayazov, he goes further. How do you talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? For example, Shayazov is called. You shall call Asher b'Olam chutz mimenu. You abandon everything else. There's nothing that's more important than Hashem. Put everything aside. Kamo shetzivon, as we're commanded in the Torah, b'chol levavecha, you shall serve Hashem, love Hashem with all of your heart. All of your heart means there's no more room. I think that's what he's saying. There's no more room left in your heart for anything else. If your entire heart is filled with the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's just no room. It's not a matter, I love this, I love this, I love that. When it says b'chol, means everything available, every resource of love available in your heart should be devoted 100% to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's no more room. There's nothing left available in the heart to be used to love anything else but Hashem. The only way a person can come to love Hashem is through knowledge. And this is a very scary statement. You know why this is a very scary statement? Because this touches upon the difference between Chassidim and Misnagdim. Misnagdim, they love what it says here so much. Yehuda HaChassid is the biggest hero. Because here it says the only way you can come to love, V'lo Yitochin said there's only one way to love Hashem, Ella Bideya, through knowledge. What is knowledge? To learn Torah. You learn the Daf Gemara, another Daf. You learn, you spend your whole day learning. That is where the love will sprout. But if you're not going to learn, you're going to dance, you're going to sing, you go to a tish, and you're going to worship a Rebbe, that's not going to bring love. Now that's a very explosive statement I just said. People will kill me for saying that.
Because
that was the conflict. That's exactly. But look what the Sefer HaChassidim says. Now today, by the way, today it's a dead issue. Because there's no such thing today as a pure Chassid. And there's no such thing today as a pure Litvak. And B'Mishnah does not exist. Don't tell me otherwise. Does not exist. Today we live in a world of a mishmash. Everyone who calls himself a Chassid is really a Misnaget. They're all Oisik in Torah. Anyone that's Oisik in Torah today, they're singing away. There's Zemiris, and there's dancing, and there's Simcha. Today we live in a world of synthesis. Of these two have come together. But if you study the history of Hasidus, that's not the way it started out. That's not the way. And it started out for very good reason, because there are many people today, Baruch Hashem, we have opportunity. We have Sefarim, it's a different world. No child should be left behind. We live in a different society where there's going to be now education for everyone. In those days, years ago, back 400 years ago, that was not the way it was. There were people that literally did not know how to spell their name. They did not know how to read. Not everyone had an opportunity to have an education. So then, if you don't have an education, you don't know how to learn, you don't know how to read a Pasuk and Chumash, how are you supposed to serve Hashem? What are you supposed to do? I don't have any Sfarim. I don't know how to read. I don't know how to write. So what am I supposed to do? I'm just a simple a wagon driver. I'm a simple shoemaker. So how am I supposed to serve Hashem? How am I supposed to feel? So along came the Baal Shem Tov, and along came those that follow in his ways. And what did they do? You serve Hashem through simcha, dancing and singing and good food and v'chulu v'chulu. Okay, you do that. You do tumble sauces. The middle of davening. Okay, davening became a performance, became a dance class. That's davening instead of davening. So you say the few words that you know, and you dance. It became a somersaults during davening. So the people who did have an opportunity to have an education, who did know how to learn, and they saw these guys singing and dancing, Kolbach Shachris, not just Kolbach Kabbalah Shabbos. It was a Kolbach Shachris every single day. They said these guys are nuts. These guys are out of their mind. This is Avodas Hashem. This is a new religion. This is a cult. This is a danger to Klal Yisrael. And they put them in Cherim. And wars broke out. And it was not anyone's fault, because these people now, and also you have to understand something, is that learning is and Hasidus spread like fire, because the Hamoin Am are not intellectuals. The Hamoin Am don't Amcha. They don't relate to intellectual pursuits. Yechidim are most people. They need to have the singing, the dancing, and the good food.
In the literature world, only very few people.
Were selected. It was a different world. We have no clue. We can't even fathom what it was like. It's an entirely different world. So that's why Hasidus spread throughout the entire world. People were desperate to serve Hashem, and this allowed them an outlet, a method, a technique, where there was a de-emphasis, even to a degree, a complete negation of anything intellectual, pure emotion. And those that were in the camp who merited, had the zechus, had the gift of having an opportunity to have an education and a good mind and study Torah, they could not bear to look and see this segment of Klal Yisrael being swept away by serving Hashem with emotion and love and food and so on and so forth without any intellectual pursuit. So it became a war. And the vast majority were Hasidim, and only a very small camp were the Misnagdim. And here, the Sefer HaChasidim, which existed long before Hasidim, 800 years ago, Hasidim is only about 450 years.
Even less,
400 years. The Baal Shem Tov, it's only 400 years, the Hasidim. And the Sefer HaChasidim is 800 years, double. And he writes here in no uncertain terms. This is an explosive statement. Now, I wonder if they would censor this in the oil of Hasidim. V'lo yitochen, we're discussing love. It is impossible to love Hashem ella b'deya, sheyidu, with knowledge, with deya, that you get to know him. What is deya? Intellect. Intellect. It doesn't just mean to dance. You have to, deya. Deya means to study Torah, to learn, to use your mind, to apply your mind. But it has to be learning Torah is deya. So this became a very big bait, and then the Gra, and many people will tell you, they write, and when the Gra put them in Cherim, his intent was not to get rid of them. His intent was to moderate them,
get them back to the learning.
That they shouldn't go to an extreme. They have to include in their approach intellectual pursuits as well. And to a very big degree, though, there's a callous. He's now in Florida. He knows a lot about this. He's very into this. He explained a lot of this to me, is that to the Gra, in many ways, is very successful. In his extreme rejection of Hasidus, he reformed them. He reformed them where they basically became, we are today. And many will attribute that the fact that today, the success of Hasidim today is really an outgrowth of the Gra. Because the Gra put them in their place, that it's a very good thing that you're doing to serve Hashem by singing and dancing and having good food, but there has to also be an intellectual pursuit, and that's exactly that's the way they are today. Today, the Hasid, they pride themselves in being the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, there's no question about it. The Masifta, Gemaras. What?
Ago,
it wasn't like that.
A couple of generations. Only when right. They first began to send their best and brightest to the literature.
America is what made it for them. America is what made them. It's all not just the Gra. It's that America gave them the opportunity to take advantage, to be reformed the way they should be, and it's really America. America gave them that opportunity in many, many ways, many, many different dimensions. That's why. Look. In America, because in America you have the government gives money for the education. So their children don't have to go out to work when they're 6 years old to go out into the field, go out. The children are able to sit and learn until they get married, until they're 18, 20 years old. I mean, Ariyamazan, certain groups of Hasidim, they're out to work right away. That's why Hasidim, when they get married, you're 18 years old, you get married, that's it. You're driving a truck. You're out of here. You find a job. This goes back to the roots of Hasidus. Because the roots of Hasidus, we don't believe in intellectual pursuit. We don't believe in it.
Except for the elite.
The elite is one in a thousand. One in a thousand. We don't believe in this. You go to work. You're 18 years old. You got married. You're out. You're out of the house. The difference between America and Poland or Russia or Hungary is that until you're 18 years old, you didn't learn either. You learned nothing. You went to a cheder maybe. You learned a little bit. You learned a few psukim. When I read and daven, there wasn't any high-level learning. And then when you're 18 years old, you got married, and then you're finished. That's it. It's over for the rest of your life. In America, until you're 18 years old, you are exposed to the highest levels of learning that are possible. And their level of learning...
You learn for a few years.
What?
You learn for a few years.
You learn for a few years. Now they learn even more. Now it became the thing. They learn after you get married. You learn about a year, 2 years, 3 years. Eventually you go out to work. But they today, in fact, even the Litvaks, they're Mekana them, their elementary school education, the Yiddish education, they send their kids to the Hasidish yeshivas. That is something that only happened in America. Somehow the structure of America allowed there to be a yeshiva katana that is fully resourced with money and with tools and with teachers and government support. And a society that shelters children until they become teenagers to be completely absorbed in a world that you create for yourself.
And there's also the fact that there aren't as many social barriers that Christina and what do you want to call them, Litvans, can interact. There's not that strict social separation.
I mean, not really to say you're not going to find a Litvak with a Satma Chassid. It's not going to happen. A Litvak and a Satma, no way. Yeah.
But you just mentioned, for example, that a Satma can send children to Hasidish schools. So
right.
There's that kind of, even in the
yeshiva, some of the best rabbeim in the elementary school.
Or Hasidim. Right. A lot of the literature students, they take the lower grades.
Yes.
The lower grades, the first, second, they take Hasidish rabbeim. They have something to them that is very appealing, that's very exciting, very dynamic. They like that. It's very, very good. So this is the roots of Chassidus. And here, he's saying over here, it's a very dangerous thing, this is a problem. The Hamoinam, Amcha, you said they're not intellectuals. And you can't let them sin, do nothing. So the only way you can serve, what are you going to let, how are they going to serve Hashem if you never got an education? You serve Hashem through dancing and singing and having good food, and all of that goes along with Chassidus. But don't go to an extreme. You go to an extreme, you're going down a very, very dangerous path. And to guard that, and the Gra came along and made a very strong macha, and the Gra was successful in a certain, to a very large degree. The Gra was successful in saving them. The Gra did not come and put them in heaven and made such a macha, such a commotion in this world. It could have gone. Who knows how far they would have gone? It could have turned into a new sect. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe not. Who knows? But here he says, 800 years ago, therefore, the following is true, and it's the rule, a person has to busy himself, you see how explicit he is, in understanding ulahaskil, all different terms we use in Ahava Rabbah, for learning Torah, to study Torah, the chokhmois, what's chokhma? Intellectual pursuit, usuvunois, hamodios loyes koinai, that'll bring him close to understand his creator. That's the koich of Torah. Kifi koichai sheyeshlo, based upon your abilities, the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have given you, lohavim, lohaskul, lohaule, ule, hasigan, to attain. Okay? Rabbaro Yisparach, Rabbaro Yisparach Shemo.
If you do
the Abaray Yisparach Shemo, the Yisale Zichrei HaNichbad, Kodesh Baruch Hu's name is praised, and may His name be elevated. The Hanorot Sivlon Ulavu Liyira Shemo, the commandments to love His name. The Sivra Hafta Yisham Lekech V'Demar Asher Amukach Hatira, you shall fear. Ve'yachu Haderech La'avos of Liyosai. B'shah, how does a person come to love and fear Kodesh Baruch Hu? The answer is, B'shah sheyisbainein ha'adam b'masav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha'gedolim v'hamufloim asher ein lohem erech, which have no equivalent v'loi kates. And this already is a different approach. Maybe you'll argue that he's contradicting himself. First he says the only way a person can come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through how? Is through lohavin u'lahaskil and chochma and tevuna, intellectual approach. And now he's saying something very different. He's saying you go out into the garden and look at the beautiful flowers. Go to the museums and look at the beautiful fish and the aquarium and the beautiful animals. Look at nature. I had actually a neighbor who was a chassid, a real chassid fellow, and he would always, now he would look at these garden flowers, and he would go into this trance, looking at the flowers. I didn't really go for this. It's not my style.
Maybe it was marijuana.
No, it wasn't marijuana. and he would...
Digitalis.
Different strokes for different folks. That's what it's over here. So there he's now saying the only way to come to... He's saying another idea is to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deeds. Ein ham erech v'leketz miyod oyev u'mishabech u'mefo'er u'misaveh ta'avog gedol, that a person overcome with a love to praise Ladas, to know shame, hagodol, hanichbod, vahanirovich, and vadovid, tsala nafsha lakim lo kilchoi, my neshama thirst, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shahu mechashe bedvar mo'il be'atzmo, who nirto la'achar, you're taken aback. When you contemplate all of Hashem's mysteries, v'yiro, you're afraid, v'yifachet, shubiriya, what am I? I'm a cockroach, not even a cockroach, I'm an ant, I'm a nothing in this world, a speck of a speck. I'm nothing in HaKadosh. When I look into your heavens and I witness the Masay Etzbei Secha, the work of your fingers, and then he says, what is man that is worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering man? So he says over here, if we take a step back, we finish up with over here, we take a step back over here, really three ideas we learn over here. How does a person come to love Hashem? Number one, Yishke bo tomit. What does it mean, Yishke? All the interpretations, to be preoccupied with Hashem. Talk about Hashem. The second thing he mentioned is v'lo yitochein. It is impossible to come to love Hashem without intellectual pursuits. And the third thing he says is go to the museum. Go to the museum, go and study the world, look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's awesome things that he's created in this world. You'll be overwhelmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhagos. Study history. Look at history. There's so much mussar when you study history, how you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in hindsight, 2020, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the shots. This brings the prayers to love Hashem. Obviously, different people have a different approach. Different things work for different people. It's not one size fits all. Some people, the intellectual approach is very, very good. Some people, just talking about Hashem, doing chasadim, being preoccupied the whole day in chesed, talking about it, it's also, it works for them. And some people, you go and study, go to college. You go study chachmas chitzanias, become a doctor, and study the wonders of a human body, and this brings you to an incredible law for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To each his own. There is no one size that fits all. Every person, he presents you three mahalchim of coming to love Hashem. And they're all true. They're all true. Everyone at some point in time in their life needs a little bit of each of these things. To keep him on the straight path. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow with Hashem. Take a short break and we'll do a little more mitzvah. We'll discuss
if you do surely.